Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 74 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, we have a surprise May edition of They Don't Do That in Europe. Scott Diedenbach, Mr. David Palin, calling in to talk about what's new in cyclocross. Mainly, we have a little better picture of what's going on in the international UCI calendar. So we go through some dates, sort of line up where we're going to be, what's the important things to watch as the season moves forward in a couple months. We also go through a couple of little news items, and it was great just to get together and chat and see what's up with those guys. So thanks for tuning in. As always, this episode is brought to you by Health IQ. Life insurance, Health IQ, they're going to get you the best rates possible on life insurance. They're going to do that because of who you are. And who you are is a cyclist or a healthy person or somebody that's out there who's exercising, who has a low heart rate, resting heart rate, something that other life insurance companies may frown upon. Health IQ knows that's a good thing, knows that that and other things are signs of a healthy lifestyle, and they take that into consideration when they are finding the best rates possible for you. Go to healthiq.com/cxhairs. Fill out a quick questionnaire. They're going to follow up with you after that and then work towards getting you the best rates possible on life insurance. It's something you need to do. You need to do it through us. And you need to do it now. Is that too hard? No. healthiq.com/cxairs. All right. Wide angle podium. We're growing, guys. You'll hear about it in this show. We got tons of new stuff that's happening, including an exciting announcement from Scott and David that you'll hear about in a couple minutes once I stop yapping. But I need you to go to wideanglepodium.com, become a member. It's really important. We're doing some phenomenal stuff with the podcast network. We're trying to grow it. We're bringing in new shows. We're upping the quality. We're spending money to up the quality of each show to make sure they are the best sounding podcasts you listen to. It's all information that you want. It's fun conversations that you want, but we need you to be a member of this community. Go to wideanglepodium.com. Click on the Become a Member button. You can give as little as $5 a month. You can give a one-time donation if you want. We'd love to have you in our grips, in that inner circle to get all the info about what's going on and be an actual member. So sign up, pledge some money, feel good about helping produce great cycling, music, everything, content under the sun. We're going to be doing more. The sky is not a limit for us at the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network, and we want you to be a part of it. Wideanglepodium.com. All right, They Don't Do That in Europe. Episode 74 of Crosshairs Radio is starting right now. Scott Diedenbach, take it away.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back for a May version of They Don't Do That in Europe. Guys, with me as always, I don't have a left or right, on the left, Mr. Bill Chaiken.
Glad to be here.
And on the right, Mr. David Palin.
That would be me probably, right? Mr. David Palin, right. Good to talk with you guys again. It's been some time.
Yeah.
It's been like months. Well, this is what I was going to say. You know, recording a cyclocross show in May, I think calendar-wise, May is about as physically far away from cyclocross in the United States as you can get, isn't it? Are we about midway between last season and next season?
Yeah, we just had a race like a couple weeks ago.
Are you talking about Sea Otter?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we technically had a race. Well, I'm thinking
there was some news out there too, huh, Bill? Some news / not news.
Which bit of news, not news, are you speaking of?
There may be a large company that may be revamping their cyclocross bike without talking about it.
That's gear stuff. Tell me more.
Go, David, go.
Go me? Yeah. Am I getting a scoop? I mean, it was out there. It was on CX Magazine Specialized. Looks like they're reworking the Crux.
All right.
I did hear that. I just didn't care. No, I'm kidding.
Whoa.
Hey now.
No, I did not read that.
The shop is starting to shutter around us.
No, I love Specialized. I'm just kidding. They're revamping it in what way? Are they changing the wheel stuff, David?
Well, they've gotten away from the short chain stay,
right?
That specific wheel that was specific to their stuff, but they're also making it lighter. It looks like it's going to be a true head-on race bike at this point. There is, I mean, as small as or as large as getting rid of the brake bridges in the back, and they're changing a little bit in the way the seat clamp or the seat post clamp is, going more towards the tarmac setup that way. Looks like they are making some large changes.
So, you know, Bill, you know what somebody should do is they should do a cyclocross tech show.
Yeah, well, yeah, and before I think that's a wonderful idea. My one question before that, though, the important question: will Stibar still be able to get rad on it?
It's likely.
Okay.
It's likely. Haley can still hop.
Okay.
He can get rad on anything. Haley can still hop.
So yeah, what were you saying now? About
tech show,
tech show. Did there used to be something like that out there before?
There did. There used to be a show out there called the Bike Shop Show, but it dealt with bike tech in general.
Yeah.
The new show that David and I are going to do is going to be called, instead of the Bike Shop Show, it's going to be called Bike Shop CX, where we specifically deal with cyclocross tech, talk to industry people, go over certain things, just like we used to do on the Bike Shop Show. And it's going to kind of convert the Bike Shop Show into Bike Shop CX. And the even better news, Bill, are you ready for this?
I am ready.
It's going to be part of the Wide Angle Podium now.
That is amazing.
So we will widen the angle of the podium.
Here, I got one suggestion or one hope. Can you make it the Bike Shop Show CX : Michigan?
Oh, my God, no. Why is that?
I don't know, because then it's sort of like a CSI type thing, you know, the Law and Order.
Oh,
you had
I
the
see.
Bike Shop Show, and now it's the Bike Shop CX, and then you
CSI Miami.
Yeah.
Bike Shop Show CX. Well, it's not Bike Shop Show CX. It's just Bike Shop CX.
Bike Shop CX. Okay.
BS Michigan. We did enough CX BS. Now we're moving on to BS CX.
Got it. And we're looking at June.
Hopefully, yeah, in June, assuming I'm feeling better and over this cold, we'll be cranking that out sometime in June, and people can look for that. We should be up on the Wide Angle Podium by then, and we should have a few shows to post, and then continue on from there. So looking for good things. It was so much fun doing the Bike Shop Show. Looking forward to carrying that over into the Wide Angle Podium stuff. People still email me to this day about, when are you going to do another Bike Shop Show? Now they have their answer.
Fantastic. We're all looking forward to that, and I'm glad it's coming back.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that Wide Angle Podium is going to have us, too. So.
Heck yeah.
All right, guys. What else? Is there any other Sea Otter stuff you want to talk about, Bill, since you initiated that direction?
No. McTubbin won the men's race, and Katarina Nash won the women's race.
Yeah, very cool. And how was it, since you were the only one of the three of us out there? Oh, wait a minute. Didn't you tell me that you were so busy you might not have even got to watch that?
I didn't see any of it. I saw them rolling up after the cross-country race to stage, since it was on basically the short track course, and that was all I saw of the race.
This is what happens when you try and cover so much mountain bike stuff in the summer, and there's a cross race. You don't even get to see the dang thing.
I know, it's crazy. So. Yeah, but it's good to see some people before and after. That was fun. It's good to touch base,
cool.
But I did not see anybody race. I'm sure.
Never been to Sea Otter, so that's something.
That's a streak that I think that if you keep alive, no, you won't be missing out.
Whoa. Oh. Ooh. Spoken like a true East Coaster, right?
There you go.
It's a fine thing. It's a show, you know, it's an industry show. You guys have been to those. You know what to expect. It's fun.
But
it was fun to go. It was fun to see a lot of people. You know, if you're going there to see professional racers challenged on the most, you know, technical and best courses in the world, that's not what you're getting.
Right, but for a cyclocross tech show, That might be a different story, right? That's lots of good stuff to see.
That's possible, yes.
That's right. All right, so guys, we wanted to, the main reason we wanted to kind of get together and talk, one is just to kind of remind people that we're still here and we still do this show, right? But also, I noticed the other day that the cyclocross, the UCI calendar, was now readily visible. You don't have to, like, do a bunch of filters to get the new season to come out. It's actually, the new season is up on the UCI website, crystal clear. So I thought, hey, it'd be a good idea. We could just, like, look at that, run through that, and kind of give some thoughts about what our vision in May before the season is. Now, obviously, that might change as we get closer, but yeah, just chit chat about the season a little bit. There's a few new and interesting things that we might see and bring up, and just kind of give our thoughts about that. How's that sound?
It sounds like a good plan. I still, you know, we're gonna go through this, and everything looks pretty good. I'm still not 100%. Certain that everything on here is correct, although nothing is really sort of
nothing looks
shouting
crazy
at me that looks crazy, and B, yeah, that it's everything is up here, so there might be some races that are still missing.
Yeah, and that's what, and as far this for this whole show, everybody needs to just take into account it's May and we're talking about the cross season. So this is just a show like of what, you know, what our thinking is in May. All this stuff is subject to change, of course, but it's just cool to still be talking about cyclocross. So probably if you look, as usual, on the UCI calendar, we usually see the Australian flag at the top, and that is because of Australian Cyclocross Nationals. That is August 5th this year, and that is still the case. But what's new this year, right underneath that, is the Australia flag again. Fields of Joy, in Essendon Field in Victoria. For people who don't know, Victoria is the state in Australia where Melbourne is. C2 race in Australia. First ever UCI race in Australia. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited about that.
No, it's great. I think it's what they've sort of been working towards, and it's great that it's finally come to fruition.
Yeah, I think it's a big first step for them. To get a UCI race, and you know, hopefully we'll see a couple more of those. I think they did a great job starting out as just a double C2. Get your feet wet with that. Fields of Joy, I think, was the people to do it there. The Melbourne scene in Australia is where the biggest cross scene is. So I think Fields of Joy was a good group to take that on. And yeah, we're looking for good things. David and I were talking about going to that, Bill.
Yeah, I was
going to
tell you, Bill, we're going to go out for the weekend. It's a two-week trip. It's a two-week trip for a weekend race. And we kind of figured probably not the way to go.
Yeah, we kind of bailed on that at the end. Couldn't make it work. So, but the, you know, for people that are always, again, in the summer here in the U.S., if you're looking for cyclocross that matters, start paying attention to Australia. You know, their season is going on. They just had the first race, CX Newcastle, won by all of our friend Chris Aitken.
Great.
So he took the first race.
I saw him standing up there on the milk cart.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that nice podium. And then I think their national series starts next month in June. So that's when the bigger Australian races get going. So yeah, always fun. I have a lot of fun because it's our off season. I always have fun looking at least cyclocross that are real races where people are, you know, really trying to cut each other up. So
yeah.
That in Australia.
Yeah. By the time that the Fields of Joy comes along, even though it's really early for us, that's already round 5 and 6 of their national series. So they're into it. So here's my question for you, because I'm going to jump ahead to the next set of UCI races after Australia. And it's once again in China. So we have these two C1 races in China, September 3rd and September 6th.
Yeah, correct.
That's not a bad little jump start for I think Europeans, if they want to make the trip down to Australia, jump into that C2, and then just head north and go to China. I mean, it's still a lot of travel, like, but it's, you know, at least you're on the in the right hemisphere.
Yeah, like if you were not planning to come to the U.S., say, for the World Cups, you know, you could definitely, yeah, that's a great four races right there. You could still make it to the U.S. for the World Cups and do that. But yeah. if for some reason you couldn't, that's a great, I totally agree with you. I was thinking that same thing, that putting those right by the Chinese races, and the Chinese races are both C1s. So, you know, and they're a few days apart, 3 days apart. Yeah, I agree with you. That's
good investment, because I was on here that next week, even September 10th is another Chinese race. So they have three races in a week. It's almost like a Chinese Christmas period. So you have September 3rd,
Chinese
September
Christmas. I like that, Bill.
Thanks. I'm going to make t-shirts. September 3rd, September 6th, and then September 10th, all in China.
Yeah, and then you could actually fly, if you were so inclined, fly to Jingle Cross for the next week.
Sure. So, yeah, I agree. And then wrapped up in that, September 10th is also Rochester. So
yes.
As we're talking about that beginning of September period, that Rochester race comes in at September 10th.
Well, September 9th. September 9 is the C1.
I'm sorry. Yeah, September 9 and 10. 9 is the C1. 10 is the C2. What are the plans of... You guys want to talk about our plans a little bit right now, since we mentioned Rochester?
Yeah, well, the plan so far is for all of us... hopefully, David will be able to get up there, all of us to be in Rochester. The goal for us, we're going to put it out there, because, you know, you say it and then that sort of puts you on the hook for doing
it. You're committed.
You're committing. Yes. We are committing on, it's not tape, on digital media. our plan for a couple stops here on the U.S. national calendar are to do live podcasts. We still got to set up some venues, but that's the goal, you know. And the first one that we're looking at, probably on either Friday or Saturday evening, is going to be in Rochester. And really looking forward to getting up there. I have not been to that race. I've always had commitments in the Mid-Atlantic, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a blast. Rochester is, for some reason, I just always like that race. I don't know if it's just because it's usually kicking the season off UCI-wise in the United States or what it is, but I always like the venue. I think the race runs well. Even last year when they changed to a new venue, they only had minor problems. They did a great job. Everything ran like clockwork, and it was just, I think they do an excellent job, and I always have a lot of fun there. The downside to Rochester is always the heat.
Yeah.
You know, it's always so blazing hot. So we'll see what'll happen with that this year. And yeah, Bill, doing some live podcasts, I think this season is going to be a blast. We have a few venues in mind that have asked us to kind of come or have, you know, are already aware that we're coming at least.
they haven't blocked us yet.
Right. They haven't blocked us yet.
They haven't put the word out to TSA at the airport.
And maybe if things go well, you know, we might even expand that into a couple more. So, yeah. But Rochester hopefully will kick that off. David, we're hoping you can come. If not, Bill and I will carry the torch.
We'll have to get a cutout. You know, the Slow Ride
with the cowboy hat.
Well, Slow Ride podcast talks about, you know, the Tom Bonin cutout that every race needs to keep on hand in case somebody misses a podium.
Yeah.
And then they can just, you know, put the cutout there.
Insert,
we need a
right.
Yeah. We need a Mr. David Palin cutout.
There we go.
Yeah.
We need one for all three of us. We need one for all three of us. We can put it up like in Whole Foods in the city. Scott,
we could just,
Bill, and David.
We could just get a little tape recorder with really badly recorded classic rock songs on it, and then every once in a while play some of those.
Get deep into the esoteric of our recordings there.
All right. So that Rochester, that we, like we said, September 9th and September 10th, that's going to be great. And then another change this year, and I think we've talked about this before, is the World Cups are all switched around now, of course, this year. Obviously, this year now we have Trek coming up, stepping up and becoming a World Cup. Vegas going back to a C1. And Jingle Crossed remaining a World Cup. But the other difference with Jingle Cross is because of, I think, Iowa football, they have switched weekends with the Trek race. So the next race we have in the U.S., September 15th, 15th, 16th, and 17th, the World Cup is the 16th race, is Jingle Cross. So we're going from Rochester to Iowa and then hitting the first World Cup of the season for the world, not just the U.S., and that is going to be crazy.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, once
again, so, in a word.
And once again, that Friday race is a night race at Jingle Cross, which is always crazy just that, on its own.
Last year, that was just amazing.
Yeah.
That was just amazing.
It was a really cool event. It's just, you know, it was wet and muddy and... They're a part of the, you know, I know we've talked about it before, but still they're part of those courses that those guys are just hauling butt off of Mount Crumpet blind. I mean, it's just almost pitch
black. Yeah, you can't see.
Yeah.
You can't see. The lights just, you can't light that drop like it needs to be lit, you know, to ride it with and see. So, yeah, it just, I mean, Chris and Tom, who rode it last year, were telling me, yeah, they're like, I couldn't see anything. I was just kind of going and hoping everything worked out. You know,
it's the plus side. It's the kind of mud race that you don't have to worry about getting rid of your glasses because you can't see through them anymore because you can't see anyway.
Right.
So you just keep them on, protect your eyes. You know, it's the best of both worlds.
So that's, you know, that's really good. I always love Jingle Cross too. I'm, you know, so this season going from Rochester to Jingle, I think is going to be great. And I mean, the whole beginning of this season is just all of my favorite races. So, really looking forward to that. As far as, I'm definitely going to be there, hanging out. We'll see. I might be doing race support, maybe not. But we'll go from there. As it goes right now, Iowa is not a place where we're going to be doing a show from,
right.
But we might all end up still being there though. You never know.
Yeah.
go ahead, Bill.
Oh, I was just saying, I was sort of taking the words out of your mouth. The really interesting piece in this now with Las Vegas, Cross Vegas, no longer being a World Cup, yet still being on the schedule, still being a C1, still being a big national race, is that it really, as far as logistics go, one, for all of the, you know, folks from Europe, from anywhere else, even in the country, who last year had to really do this logistical juggling that and magic tricks, basically, to get from where did we start? Trek to Vegas, and then Vegas, and basically turn around on a dime to get to Iowa for the World Cup. If you are racing in the World Cup, you can skip that step and not have to go to Cross Vegas. So it really, for a lot of those teams, logistically, it's a lot easier because they can just have all their support vehicles drive from Iowa to Madison and Waterloo, which really isn't that far of a drive. And
I think it's like a 5-hour drive at the most.
So it's like,
as opposed to, what was it, 15 for
15 or something for Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah, where before they were, you know, I think Cycling Tips actually had an article on the logistics of it, and Trek sort of was behind getting together huge transports for everybody's bikes to go back and forth and make sure that it all happened. That doesn't happen anymore. But what is going to happen is that Cross Vegas becomes this really interesting race for people who may not have the shot to get the finish they want at a World Cup to go to a C1 and maybe get some early points.
Maybe win even. I mean, seriously, I think it makes Cross Vegas this big wild card in the middle of that I think, people could really come up with some creative things of getting Cross Vegas into their schedule, and it might really catapult some people points wise that we don't necessarily expect. I think that's a great point, Bill. And Cross Vegas could be you know, it could be a very important race on this schedule this year.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
And I think that's a really interesting point that it, you know, kind of was looking like Cross Vegas may not be relevant, but clearly it is. And clearly
almost in a way,
a very important race.
Yeah, by doing that, it has become relevant as far as can someone sneak that in there and go out and get a C1, you know, in the middle of the week like that. So, yeah, who knows?
It'll also be interesting to see. If you are thinking like that, you still never know, because you still, at least for now, until it goes away, Interbike is still there. So you still have some of these guys who are over for the World Cups who are going to have sponsorship responsibilities in Las Vegas regardless.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do they show up with a bike? Do they get into that? You know, so you never know. You never like, you know, Matthew Vanderpoel, this is going to be, I think, his first time in the U.S., Maybe he still does it. Maybe he just races Jingle Cross, comes down to Vegas, races that, and then goes to Trek. Who knows? You know, so it's going to be really fun to see who actually shows up for that race. But I think that if you are looking, if you are a top U.S. domestic racer, maybe didn't make the World Cup team, that's definitely should be your A race.
Or say I'm a West Coast racer, right? And I'm going to, and I got my, and I'm well, and have decent support. It would be possible for me to plan on coming to both of the World Cups, right? Trek and Jingle, but having a member of my support crew bring two of my other bikes straight to Vegas so that I race Jingle. All I got to do is fly myself to Vegas. I've got bikes there. I race on Wednesday and fly back to Trek.
That would be pretty baller.
That's a pretty well-supported team.
I want to know.
It takes one person. It takes one person that you have, that you know on the West Coast to drive to Vegas for you.
I want to know if somebody does that. We need to talk to them.
I'm just saying. I mean, who knows? Who knows? You know, crazier things have happened. For
all right,
sure.
Ellen Noble, go do that.
No, I'm thinking somebody whose name begins with a T, Tobin. But that's all right. We'll see. So anyways, it's just going to be cool. Hopefully someone does something crazy like that we can talk about, because that'll be fun. So,
you know, with those multiple flyovers, I'm just saying, with those multiple flyovers, you can get some rad air. So I know Vanderpoel, just mark my words on that one.
That's right. Of course. In the U.S., then, the next C1 weekend that we have is going to be Providence in Thompson, Connecticut. There is a C2 race out in Sacramento.
So that's after we didn't really talk about Trek, but that's happening.
Oh, I'm sorry.
24th.
You're right.
Which is fine. I think we'll all be out there for that one.
We will be out there for that one.
Yeah. So right now, Trek is like the main point of our schedule. Like we were talking about, Trek has just been amazingly, what's the word I'm looking for? They have just totally like opened their doors and invited us to come and made us feel very welcome about coming. Sent us hats.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Scarves.
Yeah. We're
T-shirts
all set.
For the warmer weather. We're all set.
You're well dressed. Well appointed. Well appointed for that race. And they've, you know, they're starting with the broadcast stuff they did last year. They're continuing to do that as well this year, plus I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I am going to. They've stepped up and they're given equal pay for a World Cup race for the men and the women, which is fantastic. And the disparity there is, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, and they're doing it. And it's the kind of thing that I've said before, and I will say it again, I want other World Cups, especially ones in the U.S. to do the same, to follow that example and step up. There's no reason not to.
Not only that,
it's embarrassingly, it's a little bit embarrassing that we have to talk about this as if it's an issue. And it is, and it shouldn't be. Everyone should be paying equal money. I know there's reasons. We've talked about it again and again. I'm not going to beat that dead horse any longer, but yeah, step up, people. It's time.
Yeah.
Trek is also the race that has had the elite women be the premier event of the day as the last race of the day, which has been very cool too. So definitely support that anytime they do. Was that just last year that they did that, or 2 years ago? I can't remember.
It might have been 2 years.
Where the elite women's race was actually the last race of the day instead of the elite men as and considered the main event of the day. So, and again, always an incredibly well-run event. There's never any major issues there. Everything, from my experience and all the times I've gone there, certainly for the last 3 years, everything runs like clockwork. I never have any issues at the Trek race. And I just love it. I think it's one of the best races on the U.S. schedule. And I think it's one of the races for the U.S. schedule that we should be most proud of. So well done, Trek. Can't wait for that one for sure. And then so we don't know exactly what our plan is. We know we're going to be there doing something. If nothing else, we'll do another live podcast show, right, Bill? Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah. Yep. That's the goal right now. I got some other stuff that I just may have to do as well. But we definitely should plan on making sure that we can get another venue and do a live, not a live, but with an audience. And recorded in front of a live audience podcast experience.
You don't have to have the laugh track in on that one.
Oh, we'll put it in afterwards.
True. Wow. And do they have venues big enough in Waterloo?
I don't know. We'll have to check on the Coliseum.
We need to check on that because, we're expecting tens of thousands.
It'll be warm enough. We could probably do it outside. Where do the Badgers play?
Oh, that's true. All right. Well, yeah, Trek right now, that's, like I said, that's the center point of the season for me. I'm just like so focused on that and can't wait for that race to happen. So then the following weekend, like I mentioned, is going to be the KMC race. Second time I'm in Thompson, Connecticut for the KMC race. Last year being the premier race, the first year of that venue. And this year, I remember they promised us last year that this year there would be no race cars around that weekend. So hopefully that'll happen. It'll just be cyclocross at the racetrack that weekend for the KMC C1. And by that time, we're getting into a lot of European races, right? We're going to have, there's C2s in Belgium. Then there's a C1 in the Netherlands. That's October 1st. So KMC is September 30th, and then Guyton.
Yeah, so you have Guyton on October 1st. You have Nierpelt, which is a C2 on the 30th. Interestingly, we have a new C2 race in the U.S. that weekend as well, the West Sacramento Cyclocross Grand Prix. First year as a UCI C2 race. So that's cool. And that's the kind of stuff. And I think we'll see it more as we go through this calendar that we were looking for and that USA Cycling responded to. I'm not bunching up races in regions that are close to each other. So you have the opportunity for people to go to KMC. It's an East Coast race. If you can't make it out there, can't afford to do it, you also have this West Coast race available on that same weekend. So that's what I think all three of us really like to see, is that wide split of giving people opportunities on either coast.
I agree. We need more West Coast races here. This is a great step in that direction, a double C2 like that. And at the same time, I think, one, we need more West Coast races, and I think, one, we need more really strong C2 races. So whether or not the plans for these organizers are to just, become a really good C2 or to try and move it up to a C1 someday, either thing, I think, is things that we need on the U.S. calendar. So I'm very happy to see this race, and I think if it becomes a stronger race in either one of those directions, I think it would be a great thing either way. So, David, any thoughts?
I mean, what's to say other than
you've said it all.
You've said it all, as usual. And I'm glad that Bill's happy that no one's going to be stepping on his toes with an East Coast, Midwest kind of race.
It was all about me.
Maybe.
Bill never cares about that.
No, that's right. Never. He's apolitical. apolitical on that stuff.
Mixed in there, then we, there's the races in Belgium and Czech Republic and stuff. The following weekend, October 7th, then is Charm City. Just like last year, we went KMC Charm City, which is a good way to have it for people traveling. It's a way you can just stay out on the East Coast and hit both of those C1s without too much. What did you just drop, David? Did you drop a bookcase, David?
Yeah, I'm throwing stuff around. I'm at the shop and I'm doing my best for you guys, but phones are ringing, people are being ignored, but you know, I'm committed.
That's
right. That sounded like shop. That is a shop
they're
phone right
back.
There.
I'm gonna take that. Take that call. Is a shop you guys, phone. I'm gonna hit mute here. Go on.
All right. Okay, David.
So Bill, and then you know, and then right after Baltimore, we go straight to Gloucester. So.
Okay, I have a question for you since you were talking about how well that works.
Yeah.
What if, and call me crazy here, what if there was a way that you could somehow switch that Charm City date and that Gloucester date the next weekend? What would happen then? Then you would have Holy Week.
Everything would be in a line.
We all remember Holy Week. You could have two Holy Weeks. You could have KMC, and then you go to Gloucester, and then you're going south, and you go to Charm City if you were to flip those around. That's not how it is now. And then you would continue going a little farther south, and you'd be in D.C.
D.C. for it DCCX. It seems
just like it would all work wonderfully.
Somebody should suggest that.
Yes. Someday it's going to happen, Scott. We're going to see it happen. It's all those stars are going to align. And we're not going to have a holy week. We're going to have a holy month.
A holy month. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I can see it. I can see it, man. I think your dream will come true one day.
Well, I hope so. But not this year.
And then that whole same month, you could imagine if you had the same thing mirrored both in the Midwest and on the West Coast.
Yes. Man.
Oh, imagine that. We could make the whole season be a month long. Fit every race across the country into 1 month. But we got Gloucester and that, of course. I mean, Gloucester. Do we need to say anything about Gloucester? Does everybody know?
Everybody should know.
Yeah.
Everybody should know.
Again,
New
another
England,
race.
New England World Championship.
There you go. But more importantly than Gloucester, the following week, October 21st, is DCCX.
Yes.
What's on the docket for DCCX this year, Bill?
Awesome racing.
More awesomeness?
Awesomeness. Just continuing.
21st and 22nd?
Yeah, October 21st, 22nd. You all should come out. It's a party. We're right in the city.
Now, this is what I just talked about this. Is the plan for DCCX to continue to just be to continue to be a strong C2, or are there plans to someday try and make DCCX a C1?
Realistically, right now, I think we are sticking with being a C2.
Yeah.
That's, it would take a lot of work and some creativity, I think, to make it possible to have it bump up to a C1 in the way that I think we would be proud of having a C1 race.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, it's just, there are certain things that, be it from the terrain that we have available to race on to some of the infrastructure that, I'm not saying it's impossible, but we'd have to, there are things that we would need to do. But for now, you know, we're happy with being an awesome C2.
Yeah, no, and that's what I love that I think there's always this rush of from races that once they become a C2 to immediately want to move to a C1, and I think it's a great plan to just continue to become a really good C2.
Well,
I think that's what we need a lot more of, and I think I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea. I think it's a great idea, actually.
And we look at a race like Gloucester, even though they have a long history of being a C1, they are currently a C2, yet they are still a race that people look beyond that C1 versus C2 and show up for the race.
Exactly.
And
I mean, it has a history and it's so beautiful. Everyone wants to do it.
Right. And that's what we look at. We want, and we see it happen. So, I mean, I feel like we're doing something right where people want to come to our race, you know, and they want to make it one of the races that they travel for, even though it is a C2. So that's kind of, I think, another thing that you can build. I think Charm City was like that forever. you know, and then, you know, had the opportunity to become a C1 and have killed it there as well. So,
So, all right. Well, then moving on from there, do we have anything else you want to talk about DCCX there, Bill?
Nope. Did we talk about, you know, you may have mentioned this, and I'm sorry if you did, just the Gloucester and Boulder, both another good split between East Coast and Mountain Midwest.
Yes.
West Coast. Yeah.
We did skip over Boulder, but I'm glad you mentioned
it. Yeah. U.S. Open of Cyclocross that same weekend.
Great venue, of course, there too. So, all right. Well, moving on. Well, the next thing I just want to point out and mention on the schedule. Well, of course, we've got HPCX. Then this is the weekend of October 28th.
Oh, hey, I got to break in here before you do that.
Sure.
And mention our competition, which isn't really a competition, David. there is a Canadian. There's a Canadian UCI race the same weekend as DCCX, which is awesome in Ontario.
Yeah. In Ontario.
UCI race in Midland, Ontario, the Silver Goose. So another opportunity for people who can't make it to the Mid-Atlantic to go Canadian.
Well,
I know friend of the show, Michael Vandenham, sadly is probably going to go support his Canadian brethren and race the Silver Goose rather than come to DCCX. And we'll give him a pass for that.
Yeah, we will, because, you know, well, I'm glad you mentioned the Canadian race, because that's actually exactly what I was going to talk about next, because on the weekend of the 28th is the Canadian National Championships, and that actually had an impact on the U.S. schedule, which we'll talk about in a second. But so still that same weekend of October 28th, we've got HPCX. We mentioned that. Yeah, that's a C2 in Jamesburg in New Jersey. And then that weekend of October 28th is the Cincy race at DeVue. That race is going to be the 28th, and then the 29th will be Harbin. Cincy, if you remember back to the days of the Cincy 3, it used to be Harbin, DeVue, and Kings. Then last year it was Kings and DeVue. Kings Park is being taken over by construction and roads and stuff. So last year was the last race at Kings Park. So what they've done, which I think is an excellent idea, is bring back Harbin to that weekend, kind of where it used to be. And now the Cincy weekend is Harbin and DeVue. So we still have our race at DeVue in Covington, which is technically Kentucky, but we all call it Cincy. And then we have Harbin back on the Cincy weekend, the big weekend of Cincy racing. So I think that all works out great. And is going to be awesome. The thing that happened with all of that, though, is because Canadian National Championships are that same weekend on October 28th, that weekend could not be the Pan Am Championship, correct?
That is correct.
Canada is part of that AM of the Pan Am.
Right, exactly, of course. So what has happened is the Pan Am Championship has moved on to it's the very next weekend, right?
Right.
Next weekend, November 4th in Louisville. And Louisville will actually be the Pan Am race for the Americas, the Continental Championship for the Americas in 2017, which I think is kind of cool. I like the fact that it's a little bit different, still in the same general area, still central to, if people do come again from, you know, South America, and from Canada, it's kind of central for everyone to get to in that area. So I think it's a good general area to be in. And Louisville is always a great place for cyclocross. So,
hey, so
what are you guys' thoughts on that? Go ahead, Bill.
Well, my biggest thought here is that usually when there's a race in Louisville, when you look down on the location, it says Eva Bandman Park, and it just says Louisville, Kentucky now.
That's interesting. I wonder if there's some significance to that.
Are we going to let the cat out of the bag or what?
I don't know. I think we should just, well, they're actually, this, we could segue quickly into the rumor mill. So,
okay. Yeah. So
we'll just call
rumor
this rumor.
Has it.
Yeah.
Rumor has it. We've all heard, I think all three of us have heard from several sources now. I've heard this over and over and over again, that the Louisville race is not going to be at Eva Bandman this year. Dun, dun, dun. The next question everyone's like, well, where's it going to be? I have no idea. So I don't know if you guys have heard anything. Rumors.
I can't remember the name of the park, but from what I have understand, again, from multiple sources, is that it's an even better location. It was the alternative location for Worlds, and everybody wants to say, well, if it was the alternative location for Worlds, why didn't you just go and race Worlds there since Worlds was flooded? But to do all that, it would have been an alternative like a week or so in advance before they, so they can move all those logistics over. They weren't setting up two separate venues just in case. So that, I think that, elevation.
But just to be clear, Bill.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, Bill, it's not the site of Masters World.
It is not. Thankfully, no.
Thank God.
Because that was something. No, it's supposedly a beautiful course, great parking, great facilities, and lots of undulations and elevation changes. So I think that is going to be pretty cool, and it may be something that for other big races down the road, just to continue the rumor mill, that same course that is not Ibb Bannman Park will be used again.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, I'm kind of mixed about this. I like Ibb Bannman. I've always liked Ibb Bannman. I think it's a great facility.
It's now Ibb abandoned?
I was just going to say that exact same thing. Thank you.
I know you were, Bill.
Thank you very much. Thanks for getting that out there.
You guys are just so much quicker than me.
Well, you've got a cold.
I've got a cold, right?
That's going to be our that's going to be our protest shirts. It's just going to say Ibb abandoned. also a good band name.
What's that?
It's a good band name.
Sounds like a good band name. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Hey, do you got that new ETAP in stock?
Me? Or David.
David's
taking
more.
Yeah, we do. We've had it on a couple of bikes too.
I just figure he's taking more shop calls. I wanted to be a caller.
Oh, I see. I was going to ask.
Come by the shop, Bill. We'll get it for you. We can get you hooked up.
I was going to ask about the new Campy hydraulic disc brake. If you guys have got that yet. So.
Yeah.
That one I don't have yet.
What about that? Crazy.
Yes, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. So be ruts and guts. Continuing on as a C1 this year in Oklahoma, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. That same weekend is NBCX over on the East Coast. So that is a great weekend as well with the, the Oklahoma Rhode Island split. That's plenty of distance there for people, for both those races to attract people from their area. So that's another really good weekend, I think. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good weekend. Did we miss Hammer? Flandrian Cross in November 26th.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a C1 over in Belgium, of course.
Yeah, they do a little bit of racing in Belgium from time to time.
Yeah.
Ruts and Guts, Ruts and Guts is a race that I'd love to get out to. They always get just the highest marks for production value and just doing it right. That seems like
I agree. A
race I'd like to get out to.
That's one I'd like to get to too. That's one of the few C1s in the past like 3 years that I haven't been to in the U.S. So I would love to check that off the list for sure. So we'll see. Maybe this year.
Yeah.
Bill, we can fly out there.
Okay.
You can fly here. We'll get in the van and we'll drive for 16 hours.
That sounds like a great plan for me.
Sounds like a podcast right in of itself.
We could live podcast along the way.
Yeah.
We could live stream for 16 hours while driving.
Facebook Live.
Boom.
A cult classic in years to come.
All right. Well, we don't have, then we're going down all through the month of December. We continue on with the C2s. Other than the Ruts and Guts, everything C2. North Carolina Grand Prix in Hendersonville. Resolution Cross Cup in Texas. Both days, the 9th and 10th of December, both days C2s there. And then also the North Carolina Grand Prix, the second day, also a C2. So, again, a nice split weekend, North Carolina and Texas. Lots of places for anybody to go get some C2 action in the U.S. right there. Then, as far as the U.S. goes, the calendar pretty much blank after that, right?
Yeah, not until we have our final hurrah in Nationals weekend, German National Championship, January 13th, 14th, French, Polish, Swiss, Belgian, Dutch, British, Spanish, Czech, Danish, Luxembourg, Portuguese, U.S.
U.S., wait a minute.
But only for this
January
year.
January 14th.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a week later this year, huh?
Seems like it. Do we know when they're going to be when they're in December? I don't think they've really announced when in December. It's got to be like either the second or, I mean, it has to be the second or third weekend, right? When they move it?
Yeah.
Certainly can't be beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as we've talked about on the show before, and most people know that U.S. Nationals returning to December, not this coming season, but the one after, the Louisville Nationals is going to be in December. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that, when exactly that falls. It's going to be a little weird, though, going back to that, I think, as far as you're going to kind of have Nationals in December and kind of be like, okay, what do I do now?
That's a little bit. That's kind of the fear from the people sure. who have races that happen
but I
after
get it
that.
Too, because it's a long time for people to wait to January, especially for like the juniors. I've been the couple of the juniors that I know that were saying, you know, they've been racing for 45 minutes an hour all season because they're racing up in age group, and then they have to wait 4 or 5 weeks to go do a 30-minute race for Nationals.
Right.
You know, that's kind of weird for them to do that. So hopefully this will help some of that. And I think the consensus was for it to go back to December, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what most people wanted.
Hey, let's talk about some international news.
Go for it.
All right.
And then I'm going to ask you guys I got some questions for you guys too.
Okay. Quickly, so some news about transfers and new signings. Remember in the juniors for the British men's team last year, how they swept the podium?
They did okay in that.
They did okay. Yeah. I remember
so,
something about Pidcock.
Yeah.
Pidcock. And then, what was he? Third, Ben Turner, who was on that podium as well. Ben Turner has signed a 3-year deal with Baobank Corydon. So he'll be out there, in the U23s, I believe. But racing on, the Vanderpool team.
That's cool. That's a couple good signings for them, right?
Yeah. So there'll be, so I think he's planning on just basically spending cyclocross season in Belgium. So that would be pretty cool.
Not a bad place to be.
I was just going to say, not a bad thing to have happen.
So we talked about last year, Julian Taramakaz hanging it up and no longer racing to fill that spot on the Era Circus team, Witsa Bosman. Who left Baobank and is now joining that Era team with Lauren Sweek. So that's a new signing.
Well, liking that one.
Oh, to sort of clean up the mess that, you know, we talked about a lot last season with Tom Mason and where he was going to end up and just sort of what was going on between him and Telenet and, you know, him also going to Baobank. Originally, and how we see every year how the contracts are structured, that, you know, the new contract doesn't start until January 1st of the next year. So for him, it would have been January 1st, 2018. He would finally move over from Telenet to Baobank.
Right,
similar to what we saw with Lars Vanderhaar, where he was still, even though he was getting coached and hanging out with the Telenet team, he was still wearing his giant kit until, you know, up until New Year's. Everybody came to an agreement that really wasn't the best plan for Tom. So they all were able to work out some transfer buyout thing where he now immediately is on Baobank and is training with them and is on that team. So he doesn't have to
start
the season with it.
Be doing that anyways.
Yeah, no longer has to wait until January to switch over kits.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Well, Van Aert pretty much confirmed that he wants to do Flanders and Paris-Roubaix. Next year, this year, he is concentrating on time trials on the road. So that was some interesting news.
Interesting.
We have a story here in the Belgian press also if Pidcock is the new Roger de Vlaeminck. So
ooh.
Worth checking that one out.
Some big shoes to fill.
Yeah. they're just going to throw him out there.
I mean, people have won the junior race before and then not done much. So
yeah.
let the kid develop how he's going to develop, guys.
Right.
I understand.
Here's one that I'm not sure I understand the story exactly just through the translation and some of our, Dutch-speaking friends maybe can help me out on. So Vincent Bastiaens didn't have a team at the end of last year and has signed or is working with Telenet Fidea, but only during the summer. And then September 1, he's going to again be without a team.
What? That is like the weirdest
thing. I don't know.
Thing.
It's like they've signed him for training camp. Like he's a practice player. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on there. Maybe I'm just
like you said though. That's the kind of thing that easily gets screwed up in Google Translate.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, is that really?
I mean, it may be
so weird. You're
maybe
like,
he's just.
Really?
I think he's just racing on the road because they have a whole program listed here. And Sven, here's the translate. Here's Sven. So here's Sven's quote. We have, a program for the summer because we consciously wanted more quality athletes to compete at a higher level in the summer, and we hope they will be stronger because of it. So
all
it's
right.
Like it's like road racing.
So then it does sound like a sparring partner. Just bring them in for the summer.
Yeah, isn't that crazy though? So
yeah.
So Vinny's got a team for the summer. I guess he gets a free trip to Mallorca, so that's cool.
Yeah, there you go.
Probably get some free kit, too, so it's probably worth it.
Yeah, just for the kit alone.
Yeah.
You figure that's what the guy needs.
Yeah.
All right, any other news items, Bill?
No, I think that was about it.
All right. Well,
one cool thing, and I am soon, hopefully, we'll be able to get Jeff Proctor on the phone and talk to him. But depending on when I get this up, the deadline for the Montana Cross Camps is May 12, which when we're recording this Thursday, so it's tomorrow. This is the first time there's going to be a women's camp, which is pretty awesome.
Awesome.
So that's
I mean, we got to have Jeff on. That would just be great because, yeah. David and I had Jeff on at least two, maybe three times on the Bike Shop Show. And just a great guest. Great guy to have on.
He's such a nice guy and so well-spoken as well as intelligent as he is about the sport. It's great to have him on.
Yep. So that's going down now. And I just wanted to point that out because it's good to see that we finally don't only have these talent ID and development camps for the future men's field,
and
now for the women's.
The young women racers around the country need to just take advantage of that and go and fill that thing.
Yeah.
Go fill every spot on that camp and really take advantage of that. It'd be great to see. Great to see. So, all right. Well, let's wind this up. To wind this up, I want to just ask you guys, I want a month of May predictions from you guys. They're very easy. I'm not asking you to predict who's going to win worlds next year, but just try and think of like who at this point in May, who are you thinking might be somebody that comes out of nowhere, but is going to have a really good season next year. I've mentioned a couple and I'll give my picks. I'm going to pick one man, one woman, but it can be anybody. If you guys want to pick a junior, U23, whatever. I'm looking for, I think as we sit now in May, I think Tobin is going to have a really good season, and for the men. And I think Amanda Nauman is going to have a really good season for the women. Those are my picks, watching what those guys are doing and, seeing how they've progressed up to this point as we sit in May. Those are my predictions. Do you guys have anybody that you're kind of keeping an eye on right now and have thought, I think they're going to have a good year next year? Anybody? David?
Yeah, I was thinking Crystal as well. Of course, you and I follow Crystal pretty closely. So, and that one's, but you stole that from me. So I'm thinking that this is the year that another Katie is stepping up, and that'd be Miss Katie Antonou.
Cool.
I mean, not that she's had bad years going into it. I think that this is maybe a breakout year for her. I'm not sure even why I'm saying it. I don't have any particular knowledge of what she's doing or how it's going for her, but I just think it's time she's ready. Look for Katie Antonou.
Cool. Did you want to pick a guy or are you good with that?
Bill go.
Go
ahead.
And then if you think of anyone, Bill, you got anybody?
Internationally, I think, and this is, I think, kind of an easy one, but we saw it starting to happen at the end of last year. I think Lars Vanderhaar is going to have return to where he was a couple years ago. I mean, post injury, now full year in the Telenet squad. I think that he's gonna come out really strong. I think that our national champion on the men's side, Steven Hyde, you're gonna see a, you know, we talked about it with him on our Crosshairs radio a week or so ago, that he is changing up his program and is going to be doing what we always say we think needs to be done. Spend more time in Europe, really attack the European field and become integrated into there to try to make, you know, to get that type of racing be a normal thing for him. And I think that that's going to, I really see that paying off. I'll bet that he makes a huge jump this next year.
He I don't know why, but he always makes me think of Jonathan Page.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just as far as the way that when I see pictures of him or when I see interviews with him and stuff, he always reminds me of Jonathan Page. And now he's doing like basically similar thing to what Jonathan Page does, you know? So even like his riding style and his commitment to the sport in that regard of going over to Europe like that is similar to Jonathan Page. So yeah, that's a cool thing to hear that he's going to do that.
Also,
and I'm glad to see what happens,
you know, without a family or anything like that. And sort of already sort of lived his whole life sort of as a bit of a vagabond. I think it's he's the type of person that can make it work, and he really loves new adventures. He loves being able to just, you know, fit into new conditions and isn't really phased by it. So I think that should be interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. He's not intimidated about being over there at all. I don't get that impression at all. It's like he just rolls right off his back, and he's just like, you know, when who did I interview once? And they're just, he was like, I'm a bike racer. If there's a bike race in town, I'm going to be in it, and I'm going for it, you know? And that's the same thing. That's how I think of Hyde. So awesome.
Other, you know, just sticking with the men for a little bit, what, you know, one other pick, and again, it's sort of an obvious one maybe, but I'm calling this as the comeback year for Kevin Powells.
Nice.
I
wow.
say that because, you know,
we something I'd have thought of.
We always sort of see him there. He's got the, you know, we're joking about the third place. This is gonna be the year he's gonna figure out a way to get back in with the kids, back in with the guys a decade younger than him. So,
man, if
I
that
mean, good,
were to
good
happen,
for that, I wouldn't call it even a comeback year, though. I mean,
he was before the youth influx. He was going to be one of those guys that was going to be, you know, you were always going to,
him and Lars were going to be battling.
Yeah, for world championships and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see.
That would be great. I would love to see that. So, well, yeah, good picks, guys. So this will be kind of cool.
I'm interested to see what happens with Tom. Honestly,
Boonen. Yeah,
not Tom Boonen.
I'm not Tom. You can see what I was just reading. Tom Musin.
Tom Boone is going to be having a beer trackside.
I don't know. He actually may be. I mean, as so many of them seem to do, he may be racing a little bit.
You guys didn't see that? He's going to start racing cross?
Yeah, in the retirement series, right? The heavyweights, so to speak.
Oh, if I'm going with the obvious picks too on the women's side, and maybe this is just wishful thinking, because we saw glimpses of it last year, and also changing up her schedule, much like Hyde's doing, to spend way more time in Europe to really get that Belgian racing in her legs, Katie Compton.
I think I know where you're going.
I was gonna say, I knew he was going there. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I know that's, you know, she kind of did the opposite this year, past year. So we'll see what kind of plan her and Mark have figured out for her for next year and what that does for her. Yeah, that's going to be definitely interesting to see. So, all right. Well, like I said, we'll look back and see what these predictions are. you know, we probably just cursed all these people that we just mentioned. You guys realize that? You're going to have the worst year.
We're not Sports Illustrated. It'll be okay.
So, all right. Anything else you guys want to mention here in May as we look forward to the next cyclocross season?
I have a question for David.
Oh, geez.
I have an
These
answer.
These are always good.
What is it that I told you to jot down after that Scott said before we started recording?
Go ahead. I said this. I said this wouldn't be a very long show. Yeah, it would probably be like 20 minutes. Yeah. What'd we end up? I got an hour and a half on my timer, but that's like everything.
I got an hour 7, and I already know one thing I'm cutting out.
See, that's a light show for us.
It is.
So.
That's still pretty good. That's still pretty good.
That's a half a show.
So. Yeah.
All right, guys.
Now we're going to get all the letters about the thing that I cut out. I think you all know what it is.
We might know.
It was
but
was part of the rumor mill. I'm having second thoughts about that.
All right. Well, that's fine. Bill, if people want to get in touch with you, what are the best ways to do it?
They can get in touch with me at feedback@cxhairs.com. Also, where else? At cxhairs everywhere. I'm going to try. I said I was going to do it, and I'm going to try to start vlogging. So look for the CX Hairs YouTube channel. So I'm going to try to be getting a lot more stuff up there with my travels to Europe for the Mountain Bike World Cups, which start in a couple days.
We're going to do some sick vlogs in Rochester and Trek, man.
Yeah.
And Cincy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vlogging like it's 2005.
David, what about you?
You can call me, as people seem to be doing here at the shop. Or even better, on the Twitter sphere, at Mr. David Palin.
And you can get hold of me, Scott Diedenbach, at CyclocrossNet on Twitter, or at Cyclocross_network on Instagram, both good ways. And we'll have new contact information for the new Bike Shop CX show coming up soon. So, guys, take care, and we'll probably do another show before the season starts at some point, right?
We will do that. All right, we got to go.
David's
got an important call coming in.
The phone.
Hey, guys, we'll talk to you soon.